And let me put the reading up. We're going to open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 9. And you will recognize as we read this through, you hopefully will pick up the Apostle Paul reiterating some of the ideas that we read in the Deuteronomy passage. But how can we be saved? What do you have to do to be saved? So Romans chapter 9, right down at the bottom of the page, 1136, is verse 30. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses described in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or, 'Who will descend into the deep?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart." That is, the word of faith we're proclaiming. "That if you confess with your mouth, 'Jesus is Lord,' and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, 'Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they haven't believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.'" And we'll pause there. We've been looking at resurrection because just a few short weeks ago, we were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So these few weeks, we're thinking about reflecting on what does it mean for us today that Jesus has been raised from the dead? And I put up these four things, and I have done each week, just to clarify for us, and I know I'm repeating myself, you've heard it all before, but just to clarify, what do we mean when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? These four things. Firstly, that Jesus was literally, physically, bodily raised from the dead. It actually happened in history. When the Apostle Paul says Jesus was raised from the dead, that's what he means. When the Apostle Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, "God has raised this Jesus whom you crucified," that's what he means. That Jesus actually, bodily, was raised from the dead. Secondly, Jesus' resurrection was unique. It had never happened before. People had been raised from the dead. Call out some names. Who had been raised from the dead in the Bible? Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, the synagogue ruler's daughter,
son. A widow's son,
a little village called Nain. Any more? Elijah raised the dead, little boy. Yeah? So there are examples in the Bible of people being raised from the dead, but that those examples are not the same as resurrection. Jesus' resurrection points to life beyond death. And as I've said each week, for Lazarus, for example, Lazarus lived and he died and then he came back to life again. The little boy that Elijah was with, he lived, he was ill, he died. Elijah blessed him in a certain way and he came back to life. When we're talking about Jesus' resurrection, what we're saying is he lived, he died, and that wasn't the full stop. That wasn't the brick wall that, as it were, he bounced off and came back to life. He goes through death. And he comes to life the other side of death. To say to us, there is life beyond death. And Jesus comes to us from that place. He doesn't kind of go bounce off death and come back to life, but he goes through death and he says, I am now raised from the dead and you can follow me, life, death, new life. The resurrection of Jesus finally is the basis of the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, you are still in your sins and your faith is futile. You're still in your sins, your faith is futile, and we'll explore that next week, what that means. But it shows for us, the Apostle Paul was saying, if Jesus hadn't been raised, we're believing for nothing. Nothing's happened. Well, this week, we're going to reflect on this. Resurrection and salvation. So we're going to talk about, what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? What is salvation and why do I need it? Why do you need salvation? And right at the end, I'm going to allow an opportunity, for us just to reflect ourselves and say, how does this apply to me? Am I saved? Do I want to be saved? What is this about for me? So the question we begin with, what is salvation and why do I need it? Well, very simple. When God's kingdom comes, judgment will be issued. Now, this applies to everyone, whether we're good or bad or indifferent. When the Apostle Paul wrote these words that we know in this letter called Romans, the belief was very, very clear. God's kingdom is coming. And when God's kingdom comes, there'll be no avoiding it. There'll be no hiding away from it. But when God's kingdom comes, there will come a point at which every one of us will be called to account for what you've done. So if you've done good, that will be exposed. If you've done bad, that will be exposed. The key question will be, have you lived God's way? That will be the key question. And that's what people were worried about. Have I lived in a way that pleases God, that reflects the values of the kingdom that he's bringing to earth? Now, what if it was yes? What if the answer is no? Well, if yes, you have lived God's way, you'll be saved and included in God's kingdom. And that's great. Whatever that means. If you've lived God's way, you'll be included in God's kingdom. That's what Paul was referring to. That's what the concern, the deep concern for people was. And it still applies to us. One day, God's kingdom will come. And we will all be called to account. Have we lived God's way? If yes, you'll be saved and included in God's kingdom. If no, you'll be shamed and excluded from God's kingdom. And this is the critical question when we talk about salvation, when we talk about Jesus as Saviour, this is the question we're looking at. God's kingdom is coming, judgment will be issued. If you have lived God's way, if you have pleased God, you'll be saved. If you haven't, you'll be shamed and you'll be excluded from God's kingdom. So the question that then comes out of that is, how might I be saved? That's the big question. If this is true, that God's kingdom is coming and he's going to judge everybody, you're either in or out. The key question that people were asking, well, how can I be saved? Can I be saved at all? Maybe some people, maybe us, maybe we think, well, I can't possibly be saved. I have done too many things wrong. I'm ashamed of everything I've done. I would rather avoid judgment. I'd rather just be excluded. Have you ever thought about that? I won't bother taking that exam or that test because I'm going to fail anyway. Have you ever thought that? You know, I'll just step out. And it might be that's how you feel. I'm not going to go there. You know, oh God, I'm a sinner. Blow it. I don't want to be judged. Never mind that. I'll be excluded. Because I don't want it to be exposed what I've done. I'm ashamed of who I am. But this is the key question. How might I be saved? How can I live God's way? And there is a choice. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Romans 9, the passage that I read, and 10. A choice. You see, people were looking at this question. How can I be saved? And some people were saying, look, what you have to do is follow the law. What you have to do is pick up, it would almost be like, you know, the law. They couldn't pick it up like this. It was all in big scrolls. But they would pick it up and say, right, how can I be saved? I'm pretty sure the way for me to be saved and the way for you to be saved is you've got to read the law that God has given to Moses and the people of Israel. And if you read it and obey it, it's a dead cert. You're in. You know, there you are. God's instructions for living step by step, day by day. That's what a response to Paul would have been. How can I be saved? Well, surely I just follow the law. I just do what it says, step by step and day by day. But there's another possibility. Either the law is if you're not a Jew, then the law is like a foreign language. To different culture, it's, how do I follow that? I don't understand the law. Or it might be that people have read the law, even Jews, they'd read the law and they'd tried to follow the law step by step, day by day, and they weren't any good at it. And not been any good at it, they thought, well, is there another possibility? Can I be saved some other way? And what Paul says is that there's another choice. Either you follow the law or, get this, you follow Jesus. Sound good? Okay, but that's the choice he's actually presenting in Romans 10. Is the choice, how can you be saved? Because God's judgment is coming. You're going to be judged according to what you've done. If you've pleased God, you're in. If you've displeased God, you're out. How can you be saved? Well, one response, say, oh right, I'll follow the law. I'll do it. But then Paul says, no, or you can follow Jesus. Now that's your choice that you're presented with. The following Jesus is a way of, he says, it's a way of faith. Trusting in God to save you. That's where you say, well, do you know what? I might have tried the law. I might have tried this kind of thing of following the instructions day by day, step by step. I'm not very good at it. And I'm a bit frightened that I'm not going to get saved. That I'm really not good enough. So I need the alternative. And as Paul says, the way of faith. Believing, trusting God. I can't save myself. I've tried it and I'm useless at it. God, you've got to save me. Somehow, either you've got to help me some massive way to keep the law, or you've got to save me some other way. Now, what is the response to that? Well, the response to that was, well, the big issue. People would have said, well, hang on, following Jesus, that's, you know, That's a lovely idea. But here's the thing. I can actually put my hands on the law. Look, I can go to the temple or the synagogue. I can hear the law being read to me. It's right here. I can follow it. You know, it might be difficult, but at least I've got it. That was the point. I've actually got it. That's why people clung to following the law, following the instructions for God's way of living, step by step, day by day, because it's here, I can see it. You know, I can read it and I can obey it. And here's the thing, that you might say, well, hang on, all this is ancient history, and you're right, it is. But today, if we think about the question of how can I be saved, if God's kingdom is coming one day, and I'm going to be judged for what I've done and for what I haven't done, how can I be saved? We are all faced with the choice. We can maybe not follow the law, but we can follow our own thing, or we can follow Jesus. We could say, do you know, I've got a fantastic, sharp brain. I'm academically brilliant. Do you know, I'm going to work it out for myself. That's my way of getting saved. I will work it out. It might be that you say, you know, I have a soft and gentle heart. What I'm going to do, I'm going to spend my life caring for the sick. And when God comes, he will see that I've done it myself. You know, he'll be pleased because I've really made an effort. I've done it. Or it might be some other way that we think, well, this is the way. I'm pretty sure I can do it. And the reason I think like that is because it's right here and now. I can do something about it. And that's what they were saying. I can put my hands on the law. I can read it. I can obey it. The problem was that people were responding to Paul with, the problem is that Jesus is dead. Okay? We saw him die on the cross. Jesus is dead. Surely Jesus is dead. Either Jesus is in heaven above or is in the place of the dead below. You tell us to follow Jesus. Well, yeah, we could have done that for 3 years, but he's dead. That was the problem. We can see the law and we can read it. But Jesus, he was great while he was here. But now he's dead, so he's in one of two places. Either he's in heaven above. And so Paul says, who can ascend to heaven to bring him down? Or he's in the place of the dead below. The Old Testament don't believe too much in hell, but they believed in a place of the dead where dead people went. So either up or down. But we've got the law. And so that was a big issue for them. If I am going to be saved, if I'm going to live God's way, the law is easy because it's right here and now. I can touch it. It's tangible. Follow Jesus. I'd love to be able to do that, but he died. I haven't got him anymore to teach me. But this is where we have our scripture. This is what Paul says. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven to bring Christ down? So he'll teach me. Who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead, so he will teach me how to live. What does it say? The scripture, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. So Paul's saying, hang on, you're saying Jesus is dead. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. He's either in heaven or he's in the place of the dead. But what does scripture say? You don't have to go up or down to have Jesus with you to help you. The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. The point is that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and the Spirit of the living Jesus is with you right now. The Spirit of the living Jesus is in you, and he will guide you and direct you in ways that please God. And that's his point. God has raised Jesus from the dead. You don't have to talk about, I've got to somehow get instruction out of heaven. You haven't got to say, I've got to somehow get instruction on living out of the place of the dead and somehow struggle to bring it up. And you haven't got to take the other alternative of struggling to do it your own way. All you have to do is believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And in believing that God raised Jesus from the dead, you're believing that God is able to come to you right here, right now, and equip you and strengthen you right here, right now, on how to live for him. So we have this question, how can I be saved? If God's kingdom is coming and we're all going to be judged, if you please God, you're in. If you don't please God, you're out. Well, I want to get saved. There's lots of stuff, instruction I can put my hands on. That'll save me, I think. And Paul says, or you can just believe. Believe God raised Jesus from the dead. Believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. What does the scripture say that we read just a moment ago? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. So, believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And what you're saying is God's power is greater than any other. I can struggle to follow the law. I can struggle to be good enough my own way. Whatever way that is, and it's probably fantastic. Thing is, it won't be good enough. Or we can say, no, I believe in God who has raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that God's power is greater than any other power. I could go to the brainiest scientist to get help. I could go to the brilliantest teacher. Is that a word? Brilliantist. Just made it up. I could go to the brilliantest teacher and get instruction. I could, because I want to be the best sportsman I can be and win all those medals. I can go have the best coach. I could go anywhere. I could go to the most powerful man or woman. But believing God raised Jesus from the dead, I am saying God and his power is greater than any other power. And that's all we need to do, is believe this. Because we're saying he's the greatest power. Who can instruct me? Well, God can. Where's the evidence for that? Well, it's not like the law that I can touch, that I can feel, but it's inside me. It's faith. Trusting, I don't see it, but it's faith. If you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. But the second thing that Paul says, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, and that's where you're saying, I have chosen to follow this God who's raised Jesus from the dead. And this God, he's raised Jesus from the dead, and he has appointed Jesus as Lord over all. And so Paul says, how are you going to get saved? How are you going to get saved? You can either work really, really hard yourself in the attempt to be saved so that when God comes, he'll be pleased with you, your hope. And that way you're laying your hands on things you've got right in front of you, your own talents, your own abilities. You're mining the talents of other people, their instruction. Or you can say, I'm going to believe something I cannot see with my eyes, but I know is true. I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to trust God and say, God, I don't think when you come in your kingdom, I don't think you'd save me. Because of, I just haven't done enough, I haven't been good enough. Or so I'm going to trust that you are able to save me. If you've raised Jesus from the dead, you can surely save me. And I will make this confession. Jesus is Lord. So we come back to the question, can I be saved? the question, if you've lived God's way, according to the values of his kingdom. If yes, you'll be saved, included in God's kingdom. If no, you're going to be shamed and you'll be excluded. But then in Romans 10, 11, what does it say? As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him, what does it say? Will never be put to shame. If you haven't lived God's way, you'll be shamed. But anyone who trusts in him. Now you say, hang on, I'm trusting in something I can't see. Yeah? You're trusting in something you can't see. That's faith. If you could see it, it wouldn't be faith anymore. And so the challenge and the encouragement is, how are you going to be saved? When God's kingdom comes, what are you going to believe in? What are you going to trust in? And the opportunity, even today, for us to choose is, will I build my life from this point on? In a sense, we can just say, okay, let's just draw a line in the sand. Let's put a full stop to who we are and what we're doing and everything. Let's put a full stop right here. And say, okay, from now on, whether we're 80 years old or 50 years old or 10 years old or anything in between, okay, from now on, what will I do? Will I believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead and God's power is greater than any other? And if I'm going to be saved, if I'm going to be have God say yes to me, yes, I've pleased God, how am I going to do that? Well, I just need his power in me, directing me day by day. Not an external law, but something deep in my heart that's going to guide and direct me. I can't see it, but that's what I need. Believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. No scientist, no teacher, no instructor, no coach can give you what God can give you in your heart. Believe God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Jesus is Lord. Now, of course, in Paul's day, to confess Jesus is Lord, as we were looking at last week, it inevitably for itself creates all sorts of problems, because you're saying Jesus is my Lord. And any other lords, the kings, the emperors, the rulers who were called Lord, I'm not going to follow them. I'm not going to follow what they say I have to do. I'm going to follow what Jesus says I have to do. So you were immediately on a collision course. You were going against the flow. And that's one thing that happens. As soon as you confess, as soon as you believe Jesus has been raised from the dead and I'm going to trust in God, you're against the flow. You turn around and your friends, sometimes your family, they can be travelling the other way. But you say, no, I'm going to trust in God. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Say, I've chosen to follow this God who's raised Jesus from the dead. And God has said Jesus is Lord over all. He's the greatest power. He's the only one who can save me. Resurrection and salvation. It comes down to God has raised Jesus from the dead. And I can't see it, but I choose today to trust in God. And we're going to pause right now. And we're going to take just a few moments just to reflect for ourselves. So let's just pause. Let's be quiet for a second.